for your ear hole so you can clean them shits out. And seen the sun don't understand what I'm talking about. How you get West Coast nigga from West Coast hater? I can never diss a whole coast. My time is too greater. Yeah, we from the east land of originators. We also from the west, the land of innovators. Only difference of the two is the style of the rap plus the musical track. This beat shit is so whack. Let me let y'all brothers know I ain't no West Coast disser. Another thing I'm not is a damn ass kisser. So listen to my words as I set things straight. I ain't got no beef, so don't come in my face. You'll keep it moving. Yeah, to the K-I-M. Keep it moving. Yeah, yeah, to the K-I-M. I ain't got no time for shucking and jiving. Keep it moving. Yeah, yeah. Keep it moving. Yeah, yeah, to the K-I-M. Keep it moving. Yeah, yeah, to the K-I-M. I ain't got no time for shucking and jiving. Hip hop, a way of life. It doesn't tell you how to raise a child.
Yes, that's right. It's some old school music. Gosh, I love the Pandora station, Tribe Called Quest. Go, you know, I should pay Pandora. They've given me so much and I have stolen from them by simply pressing like and listening and not paying them ever any money. I don't know how I got away with that, but they've got a great service and I've listened to the same old school rap station, Tribe Called Quest. For at least 10 years. Anyway, speaking of things, it's Ken Braverman doing a podcast. That's what it's called. It's the Ken Braverman podcast. What's up? Oh, man. Gosh, I haven't recorded in at least a week or two. I looked at my... Do you ever look at your life? Do you ever, like, turn on the computer and look at your life? You're like, oh, damn, my website, I haven't updated it in a week. What the hell's going on? Yeah, it's been busy. I've been on top of the tallest mountain in the East Coast. I was on top of Mount Washington earlier this week. Then I left in the middle of the night and I drove through the mountains of New Hampshire dodging moose. No, I didn't see any moose. I didn't see any bears. I didn't see anything scary. It's gorgeous weather. I even had a top down in the convertible near the top of Mount Washington. It's pretty awesome. Anyway, drove back, got here. You know why? Because dun, 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 20 years is here. The 20-year high school reunion. Bam! Football game. It's like a weekend of events. The some of the people that set up the high school reunion, you know, I wasn't great friends with everyone. I was kind of a dork back in the day, actually. Didn't really know what to do. You know, it's kind of funny because I was one of the younger kids in the class. Like, I was 17 through the entire senior year, and I didn't turn 18 until I went to college over the summer, basically. So one of the younger kids, and I've kind of come to, we're negotiating that now with my son, because, you know, do you want him to be the youngest or the oldest going through school? Do you hold him back? Do you have him repeat years? What do you do? And I don't know, it's a debate. And but being one of the younger ones, I actually do think I was a little behind in terms of growing and learning. And when you're with kids that are sometimes older, I don't know, you get picked on, you're slower to catch on. I don't know. I kind of felt like that in high school. So I didn't always have, you know, huge, I didn't go to prom. I didn't have any girlfriends in high school, really. None. Actually, I never had a girlfriend in high school other than that went to my high school. No, didn't pull that off. So going back to a high school reunion, you'd think, well, I don't know what I was thinking, but the people that are setting it up did a great job, and it was a weekend of events. It was a football game on Friday night. It was, you know, the big event with the drinking and the band and stuff on Saturday night, and then a thing at the winery on Sunday or whatever. Now, I had an absolute ball, and I hope everyone has this experience with the reunion because, man, it was awesome. All right. It got me thinking, got me out. So, big group of people. Actually made me think a lot about being human. It's pretty awesome. So, I had to record. Had to talk. Okay. Let's roll back. A generation has passed. 20 years. Right? And in a weird way, when you're young, you're kind of imprisoned in school in a lot of ways, especially if you run a traditional public school lifestyle, which is you got to be somewhere at like 7:30 in the morning and you're not leaving until 3:30, and then there's extracurriculars and then there's where you live. And it's different than your work environment when you get older, and it's certainly different than college. Because a lot of times you're with these people, especially if you're in a stable town and a stable school and everything, you're with these people for a long time. Well, running in after 20 years to a group of people, some of whom you've known since you were 5 or 6 years old, and you never see anymore, never see them anymore. But you spent from like age 5 till 18 kind of running into their locker at school, or you know, hearing about them tangentially, sharing community stories in your town with them, whatever people, but you don't see them anymore. It's different now. So to run into those people again, boy, it's a mind trip, and it stimulates a part of your brain that hasn't been active in 20 years in many instances when you haven't seen these people in 20 years. So my God, was it freaking awesome. And it was phenomenal to see, you know, another thing about life and a generation going by is that the growth that you see in other people, and you know, there wasn't anybody, nobody was picking on anyone, giving them wet willies or flicking them behind the ear at this reunion, right? Nobody's coming up to you and you know, and sticking your head in a toilet bowl, right? That is not happening. I would imagine that all the dickheads that would be doing that are not coming to that reunion. Now, some people showed up flashy. Some people showed up with their significant others. Some people didn't. There was a funny... I think that it's a bad idea in general to show up with your significant other to the actual drinking reunion where there's going to be talking and partying and stuff. It's fine to do it for the event with the kids, like this football game where there's kids. That was awesome. To go and see everyone standing up in the bleachers at your football game. We had a huge high school. It's like 600 people graduating class, something like that, and thousands in the school. And there's a rival school that's of the same size, and they beat the living shit out of our football team on Friday night at this game that we went to. They killed us. The refs tried to fix the game for our team because it's our home game. You know, it's not homecoming, but it was a big home game. They tried, but we're down like 28-0. I mean, they were beating the living crap out of us. So interceptions, running things back the other way, people fumbling. It was awful. But it was great to see everyone in the stands and their kids and generation. Wow, it's just a mind trip. And I couldn't have more fun. I went hard, hard, hard. I mean, man, I slept like 8 hours over the last 3 days since driving from New Hampshire. It's been great. So kick-ass time. So why do you care? Well, it's great to see how people evolve and grow into what oftentimes I think your early 40s, you know, like the next 10 years or so that are coming up, are oftentimes the most productive in a lot of people's working lives in terms of, you know, you don't start going that downhill into retirement necessarily. So people are kind of, you know, everyone's like, I'm a manager of this, I'm a manager of that, I'm a manager of this. You know, everybody's a manager of something. And it's kind of like, it's different from a 10-year reunion where, you know, only your super exceptional people are, I guess, are managers at that point. Who knows? It was just, man, it was really something. And God, it was great. And I have, of course, a lot of personal stories that wouldn't apply to the generalized Ken Raverman podcast. But anyway, I'm also not going to spill any dirt on people. But man, it was awesome. And let's get to it. So what else is going on? A million things. It's time to update the website. It's time to get to the... Okay, I'll tell you why I got motivated to record, actually. So, running into everyone. Okay, you forget when you're not required to go to school every day and come into contact with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other people on a daily basis. Maybe your work does have you do that, but a lot of times your work doesn't. The only time you run into hundreds of people is perhaps on a commute, on a metro, and that's not a personal experience that you're going to have every day. I mean, you don't go hang out with the same person and ride metro with the same person every morning. There's no way in hell you can do. You can be lucky if you can find a seat on a cart reliably from day to day, let alone find the same person on the metro. You probably ride the metro and won't see the same people at all. And you can commute at the same time every day on the same trains. That's how many people are flocking back and forth. So it's interesting to have a more intimate experience with people who you had such extended communication with years and years and years ago. Man, it was awesome. And it made me motivated to get out and be in the world more, I guess. That was what was so fantastic, was you forget, or maybe it's just a cynical view that I have developed, that going out and meeting new people, it's more difficult to have a, it's more difficult or not as common to have a deeper, trusting, calmer, genuine conversation and interaction with someone when you've just met them, or when you meet them in a work environment, or when you meet them in a business environment, or when you meet them in some environment where you only know them for a week or so, or you've only known them for days, or you only see them on an occasional day. But when you've known someone since they were 5 or since they were 12, and you spent 5 years with them, and you know some embarrassing stories, but whatever, the conversations you can have, it reinstilled my faith in humanity, I guess. I don't know. It was just nice. It was awesome, and it made me want to get out more because I see how many great people there are in the world. You know, one thing that'll get you down, oh, God, I had a line where I was talking to someone, and I said, Facebook doesn't do things justice, because I've been friends with a ton of these people on Facebook for a long time, but yet I know nothing about them or their real personalities. I only see through pictures of events and smiles, you know, seeing people through smiles as opposed to really getting to know them. And with one of the people who set up the event, I said, you know, just to her and in front of other people, I was like, you know, yeah, Facebook doesn't do it justice. I had no idea from Facebook that you were such an awesome person. And, you know, I had no idea you were so cool. And yes, it's true. And it was so great to actually have that face-to-face communication with a whole group. Whatever. It's everything a reunion should be. And the only thing I wish would have been different is that more people would have come. I mean, I think about 100 people out of a potential 600 came. So 1 in 6. And oh man. Anyway, it was just great. All right. So we'll skip get down to business. We got a billion things to talk about, a million things to do. I've been on the road and back. I've been running around. I got so many ideas. I don't even know where to start. Where should we start? We've got so many things. Oh man. I had a good idea about, oh, okay. I got a good thing to start on. So Puerto Rico, right? Let's think about Puerto Rico instead of thinking about it as just a country, or sorry, as a part of the territory, as a part of America. That's where Trump can actually fool people, is being to like not talking about Puerto Rico as if it's American, because it is. But you can convince idiots that it's not, but it is. It's part of America. God damn it! And those people are Americans. Now, what are we going to do with Puerto Rico? What happens when you have utter devastation to current civilization? Yet, was there super, super huge, massive loss of life in Puerto Rico? I don't know what the numbers are. I don't know how many people are dying because of lack of services after the fact. But that's something we can at least start to address. So what's on the front for that? Because this is a problem that's not just going to be Puerto Rico-based. This is going to be a global problem. Forget where you are. You are at risk. Anywhere on the earth. Yes. Weather, environment. How do we rebuild our civilization quickly and more efficiently and better? You can actually see if you look through over the arc of time, let's start like quoting Martin Luther King here and say, if you look at the arc of time, you can make things a lot better in the long run by rebuilding. How? Well, I've seen some articles, and Elon Musk is always ahead of the game for me. Anytime I see Elon Musk saying something, it's always intelligent. And I go, and what does he say? We can rebuild the electrical grid with solar power in Puerto Rico. Yes, we could. Damn straight we could. You know what we ought to do? I've been talking about it for years. Decentralized electricity powered by batteries. Guess what happens when you have windy? It's 180-mile-an-hour winds taking out all the trees, knocking down power lines. Wait, what power lines? Hold on a second. What if everyone's got a battery in their house, or their source of power comes from a battery and solar panels? There are no power lines, right? Yeah. Right. There are no power lines. Now, can that work for everyone? Yeah, if you do it right and you set it up. Is it something like we've never seen before? Yeah. Can it be done? Yeah. Will it be cheaper in the long run? Yeah. Will it be safer from a centralized attack on the grid? Of course. Is it going to be cheaper than the old way? Probably. Like, okay, hey, this sounds kind of good. All right, that's problem number one. How do you power stuff? Once you have an infrastructure of power, meaning just simply batteries, big-ass Powerwall batteries is what Tesla has. There will be different types of batteries coming down the pike in the future. But as for now, we've got the Powerwall idea, and I believe he's making giga batteries. Hook those up to some solar panels. If you got enough sun, you're going to get have enough sun, have enough batteries, you have enough power. Done and done. That's for everything. That goes for everything. You need more power, get more batteries. Get more panels. You don't have to get more sun because we already have enough sun. We have so much sun that it's freaking out every person I know every time an eclipse comes by to not look at it. That's how much goddamn sun we have. Even when the sun is blocked, people can't shut up about how powerful it is. Get that? So we have enough sun. So we're going to be able to power Puerto Rico with the sun, with batteries and solar panels. Love it. Love it. And we can do that for everyone. Because if we have a decentralized grid, then all of a sudden, our sources of power, which are the foundation for the remaining periphery of our lives, our buildings, our services, our people, our vehicles, our everything else, if the power can be anywhere, as long as it's powered by the sun, then we can start building around it. And we can build around our power by using things like, you know, 3D printing homes, 3D printing neighborhoods, probably, if we grid it out properly. And really coming down, like, you know, making concrete edifices that, while they may be susceptible to destruction from a natural disaster in the future, they'll at least be inexpensive and compartmentalized to build, that you'll be able to create, essentially, you could create a gridded network of a neighborhood, I feel like, if you clear it out and you had it, like, you know, flat land ready to go. You could print this stuff out and have your Levittowns of the future, your 21st century Levittown of your canned homes and canned civilization. I think you could have that up and running in like months and it be super green in its efficiency by being the way it's powered, and you can do other things going forward. But you could really tear down and rebuild on a time scale that we never thought possible because of the standardized automated procedures and the way we're going to get our power. And I think that's a great way to start in Puerto Rico. Why don't we lend Puerto Rico? They owe us like $121 billion or some hedge funders, $121 billion. Let's lend them another $10 billion to put Tesla Powerwalls at every single corner. How about that? I think that that would be fine. And it would turn Puerto Rico into a different type of place. Imagine Puerto Rico where everywhere you go, you've got electricity and wireless internet. Boom, 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 boom. Puerto Rico 2020. Let's do it by 2020. Puerto Rico in 2.5 years is like Macau. Puerto Rico is the shit. Could do it. Could do it. Make Puerto Rico great again, Trump. It's part of America, dumbass. So how about you do that? I don't know. I don't know why I call him Trump. But nobody cares about Trump anymore. Trump's just grasping at straws. We're like, when's he going to be gone already? He'll be gone eventually. It's nice. It's nice to see America unite against a moron. I'm not going to get too political. I don't want to go too long. I like my 18 minutes or 20 minutes. I got to get back now that I'm basically been MIA from life for a week. I've just been running around, like I said, on the top of mountains and seeing kids from elementary school. What a trip. What a great time. What a great time to be alive. God damn it. No, I'd have to say, you know what I didn't, what was, what tickled my mind and made me so happy was your memories will disappear. No, they will fade. Your memories will fade, but they can be rejuvenated and re-stimulated. And it's the wonder of the mind that you can pull memories that you had but had not thought about in so long. And it takes other people to do that sometimes. And I think I instilled, I definitely initiated that in some other people with some old stories that kind of stick in my head about life, and sharing those with people that were there, and then them, you know, of course, having their own memories about them. It was really great. And it's an exceptional, it's an event that doesn't happen often, because how often in your life as a 38-year-old, or as someone who's lived almost 40 years or whatever, how often in your life do you have a split in your life where you spend time with people, you split from them, and then all of a sudden you revisit with many of them again just for a weekend, a night, whatever. That can only happen once in your life when you're once in your life where halfway through your life you get a revisit with all those people. That's something. That's something. It was really, I think, what a reunion is supposed to be. There's a reason why reunions persist, and I'm a fan of reunions. Go listen to that Revivalist song. That's a great idea. Just if you want to be a band, like, make a song about reunions because it's going to come around every year. You know, pick a holiday, make it about Easter. I don't know. But I'm just happy. And so Ken Braverman is out for now, and we'll be back, you know, try to be back tomorrow.